Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Got an interesting show lined up for you today. So, you know, do you want to be more productive? Who doesn't, right? Less time, more work. And, you know, that doesn't just apply to finances, which, of course, it does in a big way if somebody's running a business or if they're just trying to be, you know, smarter with their time and their money. But it goes beyond that. There's a lot of different ways being more productive and being more effective, more efficient affects our lives in many ways. So we have a real treat today. I have Rory Vaden on the line with me. He's an author, speaker, co-founder of Southwestern Consulting, and he has a new book, Procrastinate on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiply Your Time. And I am very pleased to welcome Rory. Rory, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, David. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. Hey, listen, first book, Take the Stairs, number one Wall Street Journal, number two New York Times bestseller list. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
How did you make time to write a book? How did you prioritize and give yourself the time you needed to do this?
Well, it's funny. That's actually an interesting question. One of the first sentence of this new book says everything you know about time management is wrong, and it is really fascinating how the ideas we have and the cliches we hear about time management really don't match up with the views that the highest performing people in the world have about time. One of those things, perhaps the biggest myth of all, is the myth of balance, work life balance.
Right.
And in Take the Stairs, we introduce the concept of what we call a season, the harvest principle of season, and how more like a farmer works during the harvest season, there are seasons of your life where you imbalance to create a desired result, and that result then becomes a multiplier in other areas of your life. And the writing of the Take the Stairs book and the launch of it was a classic example of completely imbalancing our lives for about 6 months. Doing nothing but working on the launch of that and the promotion, et cetera. And then, you know, having the success of the book has multiplied everything else that we have done. And that's kind of a great intersection point between Take the Stairs, the first book, and Procrastinate on Purpose, the new book, because the new book is all about how to multiply your time, how to create more results with less time, basically.
Well, that's an outstanding way of introducing it. And just to continue your introduction, Rory. Rory is an award-winning entrepreneur, business leader, co-founder of Southwestern Consulting, a multi-million-dollar global consulting practice that's helped more than 7,000 clients in more than 27 countries. Wow. And you've spent a lot of time, and you're really recognized as a leader in the area of psychology around modern-day procrastination. And I love the term, which I understand you coined, priority dilution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's really an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, and, you know, we coined it sort of accidentally or inadvertently. We were talking about how, you know, we are mostly a coaching business. We have about 900 active coaching clients,
wow.
A lot of them in the financial industry and insurance and mortgage and real estate, stuff like that. And, you know, there's classic procrastination, which we deal with some, which is consciously delaying what you know you should be doing. But what we started to realize was that there's a new type of procrastination, and it affects not the lazy people, not the people who are disengaged or apathetic or who are trying to get out of work. It affects the chronic overachievers. It affects the managers, the top producers, the movers and shakers who are trying to do a great job, but they, as their star rises, they get more and more put on their plate and they get pulled in more directions, and they feel like they are constantly putting out fires. And so the same net result as procrastination that we go through the day, and at the end of the day, our most significant priorities are left unchecked, not because of laziness, but because we've fallen victim to whatever is latest and loudest, and we are always being pulled towards the urgent and, you know, just feeling like we're putting out fires. And that's what priority dilution is.
So maybe we're not necessarily focusing on what matters the most, but what is, you know, screaming for attention at that moment, like you said, most urgent.
Absolutely. And that, it's funny, David, because priority dilution, almost every major interview we got for Take the Stairs, you know, like, all the Fox National Television and all this stuff, it was all about priority dilution. But priority dilution was only 2 paragraphs in the Take the Stairs book. But that's what everybody was talking about. And so we realized, hey, this is a big problem. We really hit a hot spot here. and we need to really dive in this further. And so that's what we have done with Procrastinate on Purpose. And what you just said is exactly the characteristic of the difference between multipliers, people who create exponential results with their time and energy and resources versus everybody else. And that is that most people weight their decisions on what they spend their on how they spend their time primarily on urgency. Multipliers make a different calculation, which very few people actually do, which we call significance. Urgent is how soon does this matter, but significant is how long is this going to matter, or how is this going to play out over time. And the classic example is the to-do list is the most common, you know, touted time management strategy. And yet it is another one of those things that multipliers just kind of discount, because the to-do list says, what is the most important thing I need to get done today? And that directly flies in the face of how a multiplier thinks. What a multiplier says or thinks to themselves is not what's the most important thing I need to get done today. The question they ask is, how can I spend my time today that will create more time tomorrow? Or how can I use my time today to create more scaled results tomorrow? And that is, in one sentence, how you multiply time. You multiply your time by spending time on things today that create more time tomorrow.
Excellent. Excellent, Roy. Now, I want to ask you, because you introduced it, and I think it's a nice connection here. You mentioned, and I think you're speaking to some of the most successful people on the planet, some of the elite, some of the wealthiest successful business people. Is this, in essence, how they do it? I mean, is this their quote-unquote secret? Is this their what makes them different? Is they're working on things that are creating more time and that multiplicative effect of leveraging their time and embracing these principles?
I do believe that. I do think this is one of the biggest differences between those people and everybody else. But it's the secret that they don't even know. They don't even know they do it. Like, most of the multipliers that we profile, it just comes naturally to them, and they can't figure out why people around them can't produce the same results. And money is a beautiful analogy for this. Wealthy people understand compounding interest, right? Not only do they understand it, they believe in it to the point that they take action on it. So they invest now. So let's just say you're going in to buy a coffee at Starbucks. The average person walks in and says, you know, the coffee's $5. Do I have $5?
Right.
But a wealthy person, it's almost like they make an instantaneous and subconscious calculation where they realize that if I spend $5 on this coffee, that's $5 I'm not spending somewhere else, which is opportunity cost.
Right.
But then if you were to invest that $5 instead of spend it, the calculation, for example, if you were to get, say, a 10% return over the course of 30 years, that $5 would turn into something like $50. So here's kind of the parallel. Well, the average person would walk in and say, do I have $5? A wealthy person would walk in and make the calculation and say, is this $5 coffee worth $50 to me 30 years from now?
Right.
And they do it at a subconscious level, but it changes everything. Now, they might still choose to get the coffee. It's not so much the decision, that one decision about how they spend their time or their money. It's the thought process, though, that makes all the difference in the world, and it changes things over time.
So there's a more in-depth thought process that goes on. And like you said, some of them may not even be aware they're doing it. They're figuring this out. And there's a lot of different aspects of this that I think is interesting. If you're just joining us, Roy Vaden's on the line with me, and he's got the website is roryvadenblog.com, and it's V-A-D-E-N, roryvadenblog.com. And, you know, there's a lot of parts to this, Roy, I want to get into, but if you'll hold one second, we'll grab a quick break. We'll come right back with Rory.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rory Vaden's on the line with me. He's been featured on Fox and Friends, Oprah Radio, CNN, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, Forbes, Success Magazine, many other media outlets. And he's joining us today talking about some of the principles that he's embraced. And he's got two books out. The first was Take the Stairs, number one, Wall Street Journal, number two, New York Times bestseller list. And the new book, Procrastinate on Purpose. Love that. Five Permissions to Multiply Your Time. We spoke about how the wealthier or the successful business people that are embracing some of these concepts, even if they don't know they're doing it, Rory, right before the break. And there's been an evolution I know that you can speak to about time management. You know, and anytime I know that my listeners out there go, anytime somebody talks about time management, I've got the latest, greatest way of managing your time. And it's a use this calendar system or use that or whatever it may be. And, you know, or used to-do lists, and you use a sequence and a file system and all this stuff.
Right.
But what I'm hearing you say is it really is way beyond that. And it's about really identifying the things that are the most significant. But you add another element to that. It's not just logic, which I think is really interesting in how you approach this. There's a big emotional aspect to this, and I'd really like to understand that better.
Yeah, I mean, every book I've ever read, and I get sort of sick, honestly, of the millions of productivity books. I never even wanted to write this book. If that phrase priority dilution hadn't gotten so much media attention and so many people latched onto it, we probably wouldn't even gone down this path. But everything you read on time management is about tips and tricks, tools and technology, calendars and checklists, organization apps, all this stuff, just like you said. But, you know, several months ago, I was with my business partner, Dustin, and we had all of our top leaders from Southwestern Consulting flying in from literally around the world, and there's like six people. And we have to meet on a Saturday. It's the only day we can really coordinate, you know, kind of global calendars. And we're walking out. I went over to pick him up, and we're leaving his house, and his little two-year-old baby girl, Haven, we're walking out. She wakes up, and she sees us. And she's running down the hall, and she's like, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you going?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "Well, baby Haven, you know, Daddy's got to go to work today." And she looks up at him, and her little cute brown curly hair, and she's got these big brown eyes, and tears well up in her eyes. And she's like, "No, Daddy, no work. No work today, Daddy, no." And right at that moment, David, I realized two things. The first is I'm not ready to have kids quite just yet. But the second one is that time management isn't just logical. It's emotional. And our feelings of guilt and anxiety and worry and fear and our need to feel important and our desire to impress people, those things dictate how we choose to spend our time as much as anything. And yet you never read about those emotions. And so if you multiply your time by spending time on things today that create more time tomorrow, the number one or the first, you know, strategy is to eliminate. And most of us, that is where we have the widest swath of room for improvement, that we're doing these things that we don't need to be doing, but we're doing them out of guilt or routine or because we feel like we're supposed to. And we have to give ourselves the permission to ignore. We have to give ourselves the permission to say no. And until we give ourselves that permission, we're going to constantly be saying yes to everything that comes in our route in front of us. And then tomorrow we're trapped doing a bunch of busy stuff because we didn't have the courage to say no today. And multipliers don't do that. They realize you can't go through life without saying no. It's futile to even try because you're always saying no to something. Anytime you're saying yes to one thing, you're simultaneously saying no to an infinite number of others. And so they give themselves the permission to say no to the things that don't matter so that tomorrow there is margin in their life to say yes to the things that really do.
I like that. And let's talk, drill down a little bit on that. How do they do that? How do they make that call? And I immediately, as you were describing that, Roy, I'm thinking of turning down an opportunity or turning somebody's offer down or turning down something, and you know, you don't want to burn bridges and you don't want to miss out. You know, we want to do it all at the same time, but you are so right. We've got to create margins for the things that we do want to do. How do we do that?
So, well, it's two parts, and it's what we've been talking about. The first is deciding which things deserve your time. And the things that deserve your time are the things that multiply your resources and multiply your impact, right? They're not the things that you do out of guilt. They're not the things that you do out of just mundane routine. They're not the things that you do just because they showed up in your inbox. You identify the things that multiply your time, the things that give you more time tomorrow or more money tomorrow or more results tomorrow. So that's the first thing, is you got to identify it. It's a completely different way of thinking. Now, if you do identify it, and now you're consciously realizing here's the things that are significant, then the second part is the permission. It's the permission to say, okay, I'm going to do that. How do you give yourself that permission? It's realizing the impact of what happens if you don't give yourself that permission, right? The impact of not giving yourself that permission is you end up doing a bunch of junk that you shouldn't be doing. And for me, it was just, I realized I was going through life trying not to offend anybody, trying not to say no. Once I got present to the idea that it's impossible to go through life without saying no, if I choose to not to say no to the stranger, then I end up saying no to dinner with my wife, you know? Or if I choose to not say no to my incoming emails, then I end up saying no to the key project that needs my full attention. And once I realize that, then I go, this is so stupid. I need to be saying no to the things that don't matter. And I need to be procrastinating on purpose on things like email so that I can lend my full attention and focus to the things that multiply my time.
That's cool. I like that. That's very well put. Procrastinate on purpose, that is the concept. And you know, I will confess, it is very easy to get distracted by email or other things that quote unquote, you know, let me just double check that. Perhaps when there's something else that we really should do that we're trying to, in a not so clever way, put off. You know, and email is very tempting too, Rory, because it's almost like a little miniature present we're getting, that we're receiving something, and maybe it's something from somebody and we're important because we're getting that email. So it's, you know, it's a temptation, and I like that. And I imagine there are many other examples you can give. And what you're kind of getting into is this, what I know from your book you call the focus funnel. First is this eliminating the things that you really should ignore by giving yourself permission. Then once we've done that, you go next to what you talk about as an automation.
Yeah. So automate is really fascinating, and it's probably the one that is least ever written about. Here was the big insight for me. Automation is to your time exactly what compounding interest is to your money. Anything that I create a process for today saves me time tomorrow. That multiplies my time. Here's a practical example. You know, if I asked you, I said, David, do you have an extra 2 hours just in your schedule today where you're not doing anything and it's just wide open? And then maybe you could use that time to set up online bill pay. Like, do you just have 2 hours with nothing on your calendar today? My guess is you would probably say, no, my calendar is booked. And I've got stuff I need to be doing. So none of us have 2 hours to set up online bill pay. Yet to a multiplier, they realize, well, if I set up online bill pay and it saves me 30 minutes every month from paying my bills, and after 4 months, I will have recovered my investment of time. And that's a concept we introduced in Procrastinate on Purpose, ROTI, which is return on time invested.
I like that.
Every month thereafter, the fourth month, now you are making, it's like the equivalent of compounding interest, where money is making itself into more money. Well, here, time is making itself into more time, because every month there's 30 minutes you're getting back that normally you would be manually processing those bills and payments, and now it's happening in an automated fashion. I think, David, the greatest opportunity for companies today to save money is not to look at saving money. It's to look at saving time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we spend hours and hours and hours poring over financial statements, trying to figure out how we can save an extra 10 cents on who we buy our paperclips from.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're ignoring the tens of thousands of hours of stupid things that people are doing because of bureaucracy and old systems and old way of thinking. And when you multiply that times the money value of each person's time, it's huge. And yet we have meetings to review our financials, but we never put our best minds on the problem of where can we save massive amounts of time in our business.
Excellent, Rory. You know, it's funny, it's been sometimes said that, you know, hey, we can make more money, we can't make more time, but your concept really resounds with me, because what you're saying really is, no, that's not correct. We can make more time.
Yes.
We can make it by investing the time today with your return on time invested. You can do that by putting that time in now to get these processes in place, get the automation. And speaking of which, Rory, we're going to grab another quick break. If you've just joined us, Rory Vaden is our guest today, author of Procrastinate on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiply Your Time, right back after this break.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. Rory Vaden is on the line with us, and the website, roryvadenblog.com. And we're talking right now a little bit about the focus funnel that Rory has been sharing with us, and, you know, kind of going from, you know, giving yourself permission and eliminating those things you really shouldn't spend your time on, automation, which we just talked about, creating processes, investing that time today to save time tomorrow. And the next one is my favorite, Rory, which is delegate, the permission of imperfect.
Yeah, so if you multiply your time, okay, by spending time on things today that create more time tomorrow, then delegate is the next natural strategy. But here's the thing when it comes to delegating. Most of us say, why would I spend the time teaching somebody how to do a task when I can do it better than them and I can do it faster than them? And that's the world that we live in, right? We tell us ourselves the story of, let's say it's a task that takes me 5 minutes every day. One of the things we outline in the book is it's called a 30X rule. We say you should be willing to spend 30 times the amount of time it takes you to do the task once, training somebody else how to do it. Well, initially that sounds crazy, because if it's a 5-minute task, 30X would be 150 minutes. And you would say, Rory, why in the world would you spend 150 minutes, 2.5 hours, training someone how to do a task that only takes you 5 minutes? And the reason is because if you make that significance calculation and you realize just over the course of 1 year, okay, if there's 250 working days in the year and you're spending 5 minutes on that task, then that means over the course of a year, you're spending 1,250 minutes on that task in a year. So 30X is still only 150. So I'm investing 150, I'm gaining 1,100. That's a 733% return on time invested. So we live in a world of urgency. We live in a world of only thinking of our to-do list today. And when we only think of today, it never makes sense to spend time training someone to do a task that we could do faster or we could do better. But when you make the significance calculation, you realize it's stupid not to. If somebody else can do it, invest the time to teach them. And what I have found to be true, and I'm sure you probably have as well, is that over time, they master the task and they do it better than you. So what it really comes down to is that fear that we have, that need for perfectionism in our life, and that is what is keeping us from learning to really delegate. Because mathematically, it makes all the sense in the world to do it if you understand the significance calculation. So it's the permission of the imperfect. Embracing the idea that 80% done by someone else is much better than 100% done by me, because that's going to multiply over time and they're going to get better at it because they're specialized.
Amen. I can't change a word you just said, Rory. That's spot on. I've got 15 people in my office and they would all say that's exactly how we do it because you can't do it all, and that leverage, it's not going to be perfect. But who says that the way I do it's perfect to begin with? But I like the way you approach that. Now, There's two more I want to get to before we run out of time, Rory. No pun intended. Procrastinate, the permission of the incomplete. Speak to that for me.
Yeah, so here's how it works. You know, most of the stuff, again, coming back to what you usually read on time management, is about how to do more in less time. You know, like how to cram more stuff into your day, how to be more efficient, how to use technology to get, you know, like cram more in. And that's not really what we're talking about. Everything so far is about you doing less. It's about eliminating, automating, and delegating, which is you doing less. Now, when it gets to the bottom of the focus funnel, you know it must be done, and it must be done by you. And so there's only one remaining question. And that question is, should I do it now, or should I do it later? You know, can it wait until later? Now, if it can't wait until later, then that is not eliminate, automate, or delegate. That is concentrate. That is okay. The permission to protect. That is where this book ends and takes over. The harvest principle kicks in, and you go, now I know for sure I have my next most significant priority. It's filtered through the focus funnel in a process, so I have confidence that that is the thing that only I can be doing. And so, therefore, it deserves my full attention and my full focus. I give it the permission to protect. But that question, can it wait till later, is not a question that we ask enough. And if the answer is yes, then I am encouraging you, I am inviting you, and I am challenging you to not eliminate, automate, delegate, or concentrate. I'm telling you to procrastinate on purpose.
I love it.
Procrastinate on purpose. We're going to let it wait intentionally.
I love that, because it's so true, and it is so different to think of it that way. And, you know, I think intuitively that's what goes on with some people, that they naturally, the thing that's really the takeaway here, Rory, from what you've shared with us on this interview, is that to be deliberate about these things. And the other thing I want to clarify is, you've got the two books now, and what I think I heard you say is, we've got Procrastinate on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiply Your Time, then you've got Take the Stairs. Even though you wrote them in reverse order, you're saying, let's do the Procrastinate on Purpose, maybe read that book first, then read Take the Stairs.
Yeah, I didn't realize until about the end of the book, was as we were writing it, was that Procrastinate on Purpose isn't the sequel to Take the Stairs, it's really the prequel. Because Take the Stairs is about how to do the things you know you should be doing when you don't feel like doing them. In other words, it's the psychology of overcoming procrastination.
Excellent.
Well, Procrastinate on Purpose is what to do with everything else, so that you can get down to that. And it's about how to solve priority dilution. So they are interconnected. And, you know, sometimes people say, they say, well, Rory, I thought in Take the Stairs, you said procrastination is the most expensive invisible cost in business today. You said procrastination was the killer of all success, that procrastination is the thing that prevents most people from living their dreams. And that is all very true. And now they're saying, well, procrastinate on purpose, I don't understand. And here's the distinction. It's really the same message. The distinction is this. Waiting to do something when you know you should be doing it, but you don't feel like doing it, that is procrastination. That is the killer of all success. However, waiting to do something because you are deciding that now is not the right time, that's not procrastination. That is patience.
Outstanding. Rory, that's where we're going to go. We're going to be patient, and we're going to have you back another time and pick this subject up. Rory Vaden, ladies and gentlemen, RoryVadenBlog.com. Rory, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis analysis of an individual situation, and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.